So the main thing I took away from the Finzi was this sense of liberation to use anything that felt right in the music.
Hello and welcome to this special episode in which we're celebrating the winner of the Finzi Trust's inaugural composing competition. I should actually say international composing competition, because we had entries from 15 countries. And I am delighted to be joined by the winner, Richard Barnard, this morning. Good morning.
Hello. Hi, John.
Thank you for joining me here. Can you start just by giving us a brief snapshot of who you are as a composer and a musician?
Well, I came fairly late to choral music, as I started off. I started at Birmingham and at Guildhall in London, began as a composer of chamber music and orchestral music and for voice as well. I quite quickly got involved in opera, working with Welsh National Opera and other companies, mainly through their education work. Writing collaborative compositions or operas for children and working with a mixture of professionals and community groups. And as well as that, writing, I guess, more experimental contemporary compositions for instruments and voices. So it's only relatively recently, in the last 5 or 6 years, that I've really been drawn to choral music and choral composing.
And what drew you to that whole choral scene?
I've always been very much drawn to the voice. So, but it's largely been song rather than choral music, and opera and music drama. So I guess in a sense, choral music had that aspect of writing for voice using text, which has always been very important for me. But the whole ecosystem of choral, of choirs in the UK especially, was a really attractive way of, you know, hearing your music, writing for choirs. And here in Bristol, where I live, there's a big choral scene.
You have to be practical, don't you, as a jobbing composer, and see where the opportunities are.
Absolutely.
I mean, this first competition had its focus on the choral work of Finzi, and we asked entrants to respond to Lo, the Fool, Final Sacrifice, this masterpiece that he wrote based on Richard Crashaw's text. Let's just talk about your connection to Finzi as a composer and perhaps to his choral work.
Well, I used to play the clarinet, so when I was a child, and I still play clarinet and saxophone now. So I very much knew his five pacatelles clarinet and enjoyed playing them and teaching my students to play them as well.
Did you ever get to the concerto, is the question?
No, I was never that good. But I was, yeah, I you know, I really like the way that those pieces are actually, some of them are incredibly simple. Mm-hmm. And they're very vocal as well. They're melodic. They're songs that you play on the clarinet. And I think I was aware of some of his choral music, but not, as I say, I wasn't a chorister or anything like that. So I haven't really been immersed in choral music in general. So it's.
But that's great. Relative. You could come to it afresh.
Exactly.
In that way.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely an advantage for me. But I've really enjoyed listening to Lo, the Fool, Final Sacrifice in preparation for the competition, and really getting to know it and enjoying. And I immediately felt an affinity with his style and his music in general. Partly, for various reasons, I think I like the spontaneity of it. It's very instinctive. Mm. It's obviously, I'm reading his biography at the moment, and I think it talks about how he really took a text, and if it didn't, speak to him as a tune, as a melody, he wouldn't. Yes. And I think I do that as well. I think I try and find text that really, a melodic idea leaps out from it, from the rhythm of the words, from the image, from the emotion of it. Mm. And if it doesn't do that, then I struggle to set it to music. Whereas if it does, it tends to be very instinctive and just flow quite freely.
I think that's very apparent in your winning piece, The Flaming Heart, which seems to absorb this organic approach that you describe mm-hmm. with Finzi's. It's, in a sense, episodic because it is freely led by the words and has a very close relationship to the Crashaw text mm-hmm. that you've chosen to set, while remaining coherent through your use of recurring motifs. But let's start with the text itself. Can you just explain what The Flaming Heart is based on?
Yes, so it's the same poet. It's Richard Crashaw, who's a metaphysical poet, but a slightly lesser known one than George Herbert, John Donne, and the others. So
slightly quirky.
Very, yes. And much more out there as a poet. I think he was much more emotional, mm-hmm. Maybe in a way, exploring emotions and kind of feminine ideas as mm-hmm. well as masculine. You think of other poets being a much more masculine in their themes, because I think this poem itself is interesting in that it talks about Saint Teresa, and it's a kind of a critique of the art work of that depicted her as a saint who was pierced by an arrow from an angel, a seraph. Mm-hmm. And his take was that she shouldn't be depicted as being kind of given emotion by this angelic form, but actually she is the emotional one. She has the fire. She has the passion herself.
She is the embodiment of that emotion.
Yeah, and she brings it, and the angel sort of observes that in her. So it kind of has a feminist backdrop to the poem, which I thought was very interesting. Mm. And so I wanted to, essentially, you know, it's about the human heart, it's about human emotion, spirituality. And so I slightly edited down the text.
It's still a long text, though, isn't it? I mean, you noticed that about the Finzi, Lo, the Full Final Sacrifice. He took on such a long swathe of text, and it's a 12-minute piece, and he doesn't shy away from that. Yeah. And even in your edited version, there are a lot of words there to set.
There are a lot of words, and I always tell my composing pupils, always less is more in terms of text, so I've slightly broken the rules there. But I think because the competition, you know, I think it was 7 minutes, which is actually longer than usual for most competitions, or certainly if people want new commissions, it's usually around 3 to 4 minutes. So it kind of had, it gave a little bit more room to be expansive. So I felt like I wanted to be a bit more ambitious with how much text I could set. And so it needed to be in, like the Finzi, in discrete sections and not just one thing the whole way through. So more episodic, as you say.
And like the Finzi, you have this cyclical form where mm-hmm. you start and end in the same place. Can we just listen to the opening of your piece, which is a prayer, isn't it, mm-hmm. of St. Teresa of Avila? Tell us about what you were going for in setting these particular words.
So I wanted her voice in the piece as well, being the subject of the poem. And so I found a fragment of one of her poems in Spanish that just talked about let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you, all things pass away, God never changes. And it's actually an extremely calm, meditative poem about the kind of passing of time and our, you know, the eternity of God, and as opposed to our, you know, short lives. So I wanted that. I found it was a really interesting contrast between that calmness and with the more explosive emotional language of
it's so
Crayshaw.
Intense. Yeah, the words alone, and then your music, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Let's just listen to how your piece opens. Now, we should say that this is just a sample of the mm-hmm. sound. It's a piano realization of the choral sound, which is then joined by the organ. Let's have a listen. So we can hear, I think, some of the ornamentation that you've put into the vocal sound there that sounds Spanish in its way, those kind of embellishments. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's also a little bit influenced by folk music and those inflections of other styles as well.
But then it goes into a completely different mode, doesn't it?
Yes, it kind of explodes into the words of the opening words of the poem, O heart, the equal poise of love's both parts. And so you get the O heart repeated quite a few times in these block chords, quite Renaissance talis influenced harmony here, which is obviously a big influence for me.
And I love the spaces between these declamations of O heart. Let's just give the listener a sense of how that sounds. I love that throwback to quasi, I'm not going to say actual Renaissance harmony, but certainly a flavour of that. Because throughout the piece, I get the sense that you're happy to embrace those kind of traditions, but you have this very piquant and individual approach to harmony as well. Almost like false relations, you've got sort of deliberate discords that just add enough spice to give a tingle.
Yeah, thank you. That's definitely what I was going for, I think. I mean, my harmony is that kind of border between tonality and atonality and dissonance that I quite enjoy. It's not really planned. I mean, there's a section in there which was the longest and hardest to compose, where I use a particular technique cycling around the circle of fifths at different speeds.
Wow.
Yeah, so which took a long time to execute, but largely, the harmony is fairly instinctive.
What happens next, then, in the overall narrative of your piece?
So this idea of, I think a big part of it is this idea of the external calmness and serenity masking an internal passion and intensity of emotion, which I think is a big part of what I try to achieve in this piece.
Very Finzian as well, in its way, that kind of sense of restraint combined with a huge internal energy and passion.
Yeah, exactly. And so the rest of the piece just explores... I was really led by the text for each moment. So you get and definitely the imagery and the drama of it, I think. We're talking about these this incendiary, this dart that pierces the heart, and scattered shafts of light. So it's very visual, very dramatic, and I try to almost, I guess, operatically tell that story and embody those images in the music.
And those images that you've just mentioned are in their way a subtle reflection of the Lo, the Full Final Sacrifice text, where we have the soft, self-wounding pelican mm-hmm. and the piercing of the breast there, and then the royal Zion and images of that gleaming royalty that we have. And I also noticed some links in the motifs that you used intervallically. There are fifths, which are an important motif in Finzi's piece. Was that deliberate?
I'm not sure about the fifths necessarily. I think one particular motif is the beating heart. So often the organ plays these pulsating minor seconds, kind of leading note tonic, so very close together notes that kind of beat, in particular in transition sections. So it feels like this is an underlying kind of heartbeat that goes throughout the piece. So that's a motif that comes in various different ways through the whole piece.
In what other ways do you feel you might have been led by the Finzi original, or was it more of a case of a very loose connection to his world?
So the main thing I took away from the Finzi was this sense of liberation to use anything that felt right in the music.
That's a beautifully succinct way of putting it.
And it's something that's interesting with the Finzi, that I know that he composed it very fast, because it was a quite a last-minute commission for Three Choirs Festival. And I think lots of people have said that this was maybe an advantage, because he had to write it quite fluently in a flowing way, and so it became, as I've said before, quite instinctive. And I think that method of writing in, you know, starting from the beginning, working through and just letting the text guide you and your imagination guide you, I think is a really crucial way, and why this piece worked when I wrote it. And that's something I definitely try and do in lots of my music as well. So it's quite hard to then go back and analyze the thematic kind of nuts and bolts of it, because I wasn't particularly thinking of it at the time. I was just thinking what feels right next. That's
brings to mind Stravinsky's famous quote on the writing of The Rite of Spring, where he says, "I was the vessel through which the rite passed." Can we talk about the role of the organ here? Because again, in the Finzi original, the organ has a really important role in introducing the whole world, and certainly underpins a lot of the emotional setting of the words.
Yeah, so my piece does the opposite in that it starts with just voices and then the organ comes in. I think the relationship between the organ and the choir was a really interesting one for me in writing this piece and to explore. So sometimes it supports the voices, and just like in the Finzi, and then sometimes it has a character of its own, or it explodes out of the texture and does things that obviously the choir can't do in terms of range. So you get particular moments where these sort of triplets that the choir are singing suddenly go, you know, burst into very high range and then come right down in the organ. So
let's hear that, actually, because it's such a beautiful bit. I want to sort of point to two moments that stood out for me, let's start with that triplet setting, which again reminded me of a certain passage in the Finzi where he sort of breaks into these very fluid semiquaver triplets in the organ part. What were you setting in the text at that point?
So I was setting the scattered shafts of light that play combined against this breast at once break in. So you get a moment of breaking in of light.
Scattered shafts of light. Yeah. How poetic. Let's just have a listen to that. Also talking, I think, about how the organ ushered in a different world to the choirs, and that's particularly evident right at the beginning, isn't it, where we've just had this, as you said, almost folkloric setting mm-hmm. of the Santa Teresa prayer. Mm-hmm. And then the organ does this. Touches of Messiaen there, I think.
Yes, I think so. Again, it's a little bit like just taking an idea and then stretching it, seeing where it can go, and the organ as a way of, with the harmony and the range, pushing it outside where it was before to get this sense of abandonment and intensity and freedom that then, with these really crashing chords of O Heart at the beginning of the poem, that's what I wanted there.
So we've dotted around a little bit. I just wanted to bring in actually the practicality of this score. It is very much singable, obviously.
I hope so.
Part of the brief.
I hope so.
However, it will be a challenge even for the likes of the choir of Trinity College, Cambridge, who will be recording and filming this work. What do you think will be the main challenges for a choir, even of this skill and caliber?
Well, first of all, I think a choir as good as Trinity College probably won't find anything a challenge in...
Good answer.
Yeah. I've been enjoying their services and performances on YouTube, which are stunning. But I think there is certain fast-moving passages in the piece that, you know, we'll need some precision and are quite challenging to get together. I think one thing with the music is I always think about all the different voice parts and giving each one kind of interest and prominence, and so that each voice in the choir is of equal value. And so that does make then the texture often a little bit more complex, and each voice part needs to be very on it.
I can't wait to hear the results, and we shall look forward to fanfaring them here on the Finzi website as and when. Has this exploration of Finzi's world and this spontaneous, organic way of responding to the text, has it led you in any new directions? What can we expect next for you?
I think it's definitely felt like a culmination of things that I was... directions I was going anyway. So I found it a very useful piece to write in that it kind of, yeah, consolidated ideas and techniques that I've been playing with and using recently. In terms of what next, I've got a new piece I've just written for the Mancunium Consort up in Manchester that they're going to record in the next few weeks, and a few other pieces. But I've got quite a kind of repertoire of quite a few works now, some of which published by White Light Publishing. And you can find details on my website as well, richardbarnard.com.
Excellent. I was just about to ask, so I'm glad you got that in there. richardbarnard.com, which I have visited, obviously, and I see there are various video recordings, too, mm-hmm. of your work there. So that will give listeners a fair idea of the range of what you write.
Mm. Yes, and there's a mixture of liturgical work and secular pieces for a range of different choirs, I think, you know, from large to small in terms of size, voice parts, and also difficulty and ease of singing as well.
Let's let your work and your beautiful music see us out. This comes from the end of the work, so we go back to the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila, where despite the intensity of the flaming heart, we are encouraged to let the peace of God dwell in us. Thank you so much, Richard Barnard, for sharing your insights on this beautiful piece.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.